The Roads Must Roll by Robert Heinlein. Narrated by Peter Coates. Who makes the roads roll? The speaker stood still on the rostrum and waited for his audience to answer him. The reply came in scattered shouts that cut through the ominous, discontented murmur of the crowd. We do, damn right. Who does the dirty work down inside so that Joe Public can ride at his ease? This time it was a single roar. We do. The speaker pressed his advantage, his words tumbling out in a rasping torrent. He leaned toward the crowd, his eyes picking out individuals at whom to fling his words. What makes business? The roads. How do they move the food they eat? The roads. How do they get to work? The roads. How do they get home to their wives? The roads. He paused for effect, then lowered his voice. Where would the public be if you boys didn't keep them roads rolling? Behind the eight ball, and everybody knows it. But do they appreciate it? Phew. Did we ask for too much? Were our demands unreasonable? The right to resign whenever we want to. Every working stiff in any other job has that. The same pay as the engineers. Why not? Who are the real engineers around here? Do you have to be a cadet in a funny little hat before you can learn to wipe a bearing or jack down a rotor? Who earns his keep? The gentlemen in the control offices or the boys down inside? What else do we ask? The right to elect our own engineers? Why the hell not? Who's competent to pick engineers? The technicians or some damn dumb examining board that's never been down inside and couldn't tell a rotor bearing from a field coil? He changed his pace with natural art and lowered his voice still further. I tell you, brother, it's time we quit fiddling around with petitions to the Transport Commission and use a little direct action. Let 'em yammer about democracy. That's a lot of eyewash. We've got the power, and we're the men that count. A man had risen in the back of the hall while the speaker was haranguing. He spoke up as the speaker paused. Brother Chairman, he drawled, may I stick in a couple of words? You are recognised, Brother Harvey? What I ask is, what's all this shooting for? We got the highest hourly rate of pay of any mechanical guild. Full insurance and retirement and safe working conditions, barring the chance of going deaf. He pushed his anti-noise helmet farther back from his ears. He was still in dungarees, apparently just up from standing watch. Of course, we have to give 90 days notice to quit a job, but cripes, we knew that when we signed up. The roads have got a roll. They can't stop every time some lazy punk gets tired of his billet. And now, Soapy, the crack of the gavel cut him short. Pardon me, I mean brother Soapy. Tell us how powerful we are and how we should go in for direct action. Rats. Sure, we could tie up the roads and play hell with the whole community, but so could any screwball with a can of nitroglycerin, and he wouldn't have to be a technician to do it, neither. We aren't the only frogs in the puddle. Our jobs are important, sure, but where would we be without the farmers, or the steelworkers, or a dozen other trades and professions? He was interrupted by a sallow little man with protruding upper teeth, who said, "Just a minute, Brother Chairman, I'd like to ask Brother Harvey a question." Then turned to Harvey and inquired in a sly voice, "Are you speaking for the guild, brother, or just for yourself? Maybe you don't believe in the guild. You wouldn't by any chance be..." He stopped and slid his eyes up and down Harvey's lank frame. "A spotter, would you?" Harvey looked over his questioner as if he had found something filthy in a plate of food. "Sykes," he told him, "if you weren't a runt, I'd stuff your store teeth down your throat. I've helped found this guild. I was on strike in 60. Where were you in 60? With the Finks?" The chairman's gavel pounded. "There's been enough of this," he said. "Nobody that knows anything about the history of this guild doubts the loyalty of Brother Harvey. We'll continue with the regular order of business." He stopped to clear his throat. "Ordinarily, we don't open our floor to outsiders, and some of you boys have expressed a distaste for some of the engineers we work under. But there is one engineer we always like to listen to whenever he can get away from his pressing duties. I guess maybe it's because he's had dirt under his nails the same as us. Anyhow, I present at this time Mr. Shorty Van Cleek." A shout from the floor stopped him. "Brother Van Cleek." "Okay, Brother Van Cleek, chief deputy engineer of this road town." "Thanks, Brother Chairman." The guest